everyone can still use that space, as expected. I that was very important to me. I wanted everyone to still be able to use, dance up on the wall, do whatever they were doing before without the artwork taking away from it.
I think that there are very few spaces across all of Canada where you walk to the room and the queer identity is in the majority, as a casual business on the street, and I think that they are certainly limited. So it's good to have accounted for that. What I was able to see was that the vast majority, if not all of the artists, are queer identified. And I'm just wondering, because, queer folks are like, not just herding cats, but, herding deaf and blind cats. But the question I have for you is, how were you able to not only find seven queer identified artists that are able to speak to this theme, but also seven artists who had the confidence, the sort of self-confidence to be able to explore this incredibly vulnerable topic in this exhibit? Because I imagine, this exhibit is asking a lot of the artists. Was that a challenge to pull together? And maybe, Lane, if you can touch on when you were approached, your perspective of that particular onboarding for this exhibit, that'd be great.
Can I start for this one?
Sure.
Okay. So it happened very organically because we are all in school together at SPOW, and we've been critiquing and looking at each other's works and talking to each other outside of school. And not all of the artists are queer identifying, but most of them are. So we just, one day, Jem's kind of the gang leader, and they were like, "Hey, would it be cool if we did this exhibition in Toronto for a contact?" And yeah, I was like, "Of course, yes, I'll do anything to help you with this."
Yeah, we're very lucky, right? Like, we all know each other from a spouse.
Yeah, or friend of a friend from
Or friend,
Spout.
yeah,
Yes.
exactly. Yeah, we got really lucky, I think.
Excellent. And I think that speaks to just community, you know what I mean? And I think that that's probably strongly reflected. I was asked by a friend of mine who's been working with you on this to mention the zine. Would you tell me about that? What's a zine, and why would our listening audience potentially be interested in it?
So a zine is a small booklet with pictures and poetry. Some of the pictures were produced for the exhibition but weren't selected to be put on the wall, so they're included in the zine. And it's a little experience in of itself. It's a little piece that you can take with you for $10, and the proceeds are going to help us fund this exhibition. Thank you. And it's just a cute little reminder of how beautiful we are, even though it could be really hard sometimes.
Yeah, and there's like expanded writing in the zine. So if the exhibition speaks to you, you might find a little bit more in there that like maybe you can, sit with, ponder on, think about, because Emily, who is the co-curator, and I wrote a little bit more for that zine, and we have some great poems in there as well.
Excellent. Well, for anyone interested in finding out more about this exhibition, it is going to be at the Glad Day Bookshop, which is at 499 Church Street in downtown Toronto. And that'll be running from May the 18th through to June the 7th. If you're in the city on May 20th, 3 to 7, there is an opening reception. I will try and stop by if I'm also here in the city at that same time. I think that's next week, actually,
Yes.
if I recall.
Yes, that's next weekend.
So we will hopefully see folks there. I want to thank Shem and Lynn so much for joining me and sharing with me and our listeners some of the thinking behind this exhibit. And we certainly hope everyone goes to check it out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Luke. Thank you.
Glass. And as you fell
Hello and welcome back to Cangri, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, our longtime co-host Sebastian Plant is feeling a little under the weather and has lost his voice, which is rather a difficult position to be in as a radio DJ. So we're wishing him a speedy recovery. And we have dispatched honey and chamomile tea on the fastest delivery method possible. So hopefully he will be right as rain for our show next week as we discuss, among many things, we will be discussing the Eurovision Song Contest a week late. We do realize that some of you may have watched it or may have heard about it, but this is an annual tradition for us, and we are very excited to have that conversation. Now, earlier, we played some great tracks by openly LGBTQ-identified musicians, including Cupid's Heart, with their track Safe, brand new releases from all of our Canadian artists today. So that was Laughing by Don River, brand new release, Safe by Cupid's Heart, and the incredibly talented Vivek Schreier and Baby You're Projecting, recently just released as well. So all of these amazing tracks. A little later we'll be playing Brooklyn Duran's Wasted My Twenties. Sometimes I feel a bit like that was the case for myself as well. But before then, we are very excited to share more good news. I am just, I'm thrilled that we are able to find and to share excellent news that happens around the world, because in the world of LGBTQ content, it really isn't always particularly sunny and bright in terms of what's happening around the world. Well, let's kick it off with Sri Lanka. In Sri Lanka, there was a bill by the MP Premnath Dulawat, who is looking to essentially decriminalize homosexuality. Now, whether or not that was possible in Sri Lanka, had to go to the Supreme Court, and the Sri Lankan Supreme Court has decided that the private members bill would not be unconstitutional, meaning that it is possible that if introduced and if passed, that it would not face a constitutionality challenge. There. Now, the law in particular relates back, you know, dates all the way back to British rule in Sri Lanka. This is one of many countries that are still holding on to, or rather that are still suffering from old British laws such as this. But yeah, so that was great news out of Sri Lanka. We'll see what happens next. The opposition parties apparently have not necessarily indicated their enthusiastic support for this bill, but we are crossing fingers. Also in the Supreme Court, also in Southeast Asia, Nepal has decided in a recent case that they will be legalizing same-sex marriage. This is a huge decision. It's a landmark decision for Nepal, making it one of the first countries in Southeast Asia to legalize same-sex marriage. So this is excellent news. I believe there's also a landmark bill relatively recently in Thailand. Pressure is mounting in India to address the equality situation there as well. In other news, in Europe, the ILGA, which is the International League Against... I forget what the ILGA is exact acronym is, but essentially they have released their big report on the 47 countries in the EU and how they shape up in terms of different LGBTQ rights. So the ILGA, I'm pretty sure I got that right the first time. They've released the list. There are some pretty surprises. Malta remains at the top of the list. What they have is they have a whole swath of criteria that they look at, different pieces of legislation to support, for example, employment, access to healthcare. A whole bunch of countries like Spain just skyrocketed up their chart because of the self-identity law for trans folks. So yeah, there are a few in there. The UK slipping down to 11th place on this chart. Spain is now right at the top. So it's definitely you know, definitely some big ones. But Sting did jump six places in 1 year by introducing the self-identification for gender identity legislation. We also saw similar moves in Belgium, Iceland, and Moldova, also introducing protections. Moldova in Europe actually introduced sexual orientation and gender identity has been better covered in employment law, education law, and anti-hate speech laws. Switzerland has introduced allowing medically assisted insemination for couples. So this annual report that the ILGA does is an excellent Rainbow Europe is an excellent barometer of how the continent is doing on LGBTQ rights as a whole. Now, there are some that continue to do not particularly well. Azerbaijan and Turkey and Armenia collectively have 2%, 4%, and 9%. I believe that Russia is sitting there at 8 or 9% as well, certainly not doing particularly well. But one of the surprises for me was Hungary. We took a look at Hungary's score, and they actually ended up, with 35 or 25. Scoring effectively better than places like Italy. And a lot of that, although we've spoken a lot about the anti-gay laws and legislations in Hungary, they have an awful lot of legacy legislation from previous governments protecting LGBTQ employment, protecting discrimination against based on sexual orientation. And thankfully, a lot of those pieces of legislation have not been repealed, effectively offering better protection than places like Russia or Turkey or even the Ukraine, which scored 20% compared to Hungary's 30%. Now, if you're kind of curious, thinking how are they reaching these conclusions for all of these different countries? How do you compare apples to apples and oranges? They are looking at everything from, does the constitution protect organizations? Is the sale of trade and good? Is access to healthcare there? Is there a ban on conversion therapy? Is there a plan from the government on how to improve equality? Is there marriage equality? Can you have joint adoption? Can you have second parent adoption? All the way through to, are there hate crime laws? Is there hate speech laws? Is there an existence of legal measures for gender recognition and so on? Is there legislation against the unilateral use of medical interventions against intersex people? All of these things. They have about 70 odd different things that they look at, including asylum law and the whole shebang, and every country is ranked on whether or not they have that in place, and then scored out of 100, essentially. So, as I mentioned earlier, the UK not doing as well as you would maybe hope, but only 53%, not fantastic. You compare that to somewhere like France, which has 63%, or Germany, 55%. Lots of places to grow. I think with the amount of international tourism and the amount of money available for tourism, I suspect that Malta is going to continue to have a lot of LGBTQ dollars, a lot of the pink dollars heading to Malta to support their tourism there. And, maybe the UK will not do as well. In other very gay news, and distinctly gay news, Grindr was in the news for maybe not the worst reason this year. We have talked about a legal case against Grindr by an accusation from a New Brunswick teen who accused the app of not introducing sufficient protections to prevent older people targeting the underage users of the app, or also having enough prohibitions in place to prevent underage use of the app. Grindr is a particularly gay male hookup app. Anyway, they have now launched a web service. It seems like the 2000s have called, and access to a website version of the app has been answered, and they've launched that as well. Now, If you've been looking for an interesting read, I've recently just finished Red, White, and Royal Blue, a absolutely fantastic book. It may have been my interest was piqued as the story centers behind the first son, i.e. the son of the president, and a prince of England, and in a bit of a romance novel that unfolds. Anyway, Prime Video picked up the rights to this particular book that has sold incredibly well, and they just released that it will be having an R rating. Now, anyone who's read the book might realize that that's probably not an unlikely scenario given what happens in the books. Casey McQuiston's iconic, fantastic New York best-selling book, Red, White, and Royal Blue, is a pleasure to read. And definitely recommend it for anyone who's looking for just some light, easy reading. That's one of the key things. In other news, the World Health Organization has declared that the mpox virus, so the what was commonly referred at the start as the monkeypox virus, but then was rebranded by the World Health Organization, has been broadly brought under control. We looked into it and we double-checked Canada's numbers. Although the Health Canada hasn't updated these in a couple of weeks, it is worth noting that between the 10th of March and the 11th of April, there was a grand total of just one case. And that was one case on the 10th of March and then another one single case of the mpox virus on the 11th of April. Yet again, myself and Sebastian spoke before about how a lot of that boils down to the dedication and the proactive soliciting for the vaccine amongst the LGBT community in Canada. We realized that this was a very dangerous virus that was particularly prevalent in the gay community, and the vaccination rates for young for Canadian men who are gay identified was very, very high, and it definitely stumped the new infections. But one in about 2.5 months is excellent. The World Health Organization believes that as a whole across the world, it is now under control. So congratulations everyone who took their own health and the health of the community to heart and proactively intervened to address that. We are going to be jumping in a few minutes to the last track, which is going to be Brooklyn Duran's Wasted My Twenties. And yeah, we're very excited about that. If you're interested in the ILGA report or the Rainbow Europe report, as I mentioned earlier, to see where to go travel next, please do so. I am anxiously waiting to see if any Canadian carriers pick up the Kylie Minogue-fronted I Kissed a Boy reality TV show that has just launched in the UK. Believe it or not, it's the first gay dating show on a major television network in the UK. Kissed a Boy, it's done extremely well. People are very excited about it. Unfortunately, I am all a feather to see what if it gets picked up here and who does pick it up. But that's all for now. Thank you so much to the folks that we interviewed earlier. We did reach out to Pride at Work and we weren't able to secure the interview in time for today's show. We're hoping that we will have that secured in time for next week. And then hopefully that will complement our Eurovision coverage. Next up is Brooklyn Duran's Wasted My Twenties. I've been Luke Smith, and thank you for listening.
I'm here with a broken heart in an empty bar, playing love songs, baby. Too bad they'll never be about you now. Three beers in the parking lot, we were smoking pot that the door guy gave me. I guess I'm chasing dreams without you now. Used to have me on my knees, scrolling past you on my feet. It's a cycle that I'm trying to break. smile anymore.